Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Alcott, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. Today I'm joined in the studio by Father Charles Schonk and by Father Thomas Blau. Let's begin with a prayer to Our Lady. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Since we're joined by Father Thomas Blau today.
Hello.
Who is a preacher. He preaches parish missions all around the diocese. We've asked him to help lead a discussion about one of the topics that he preaches about. And this is a very practical one. It's called Getting More Out of the Mass. Getting More Out of the Mass. So, Father Thomas, what is one of the first things you say when you tell people how to get more out of the Mass?
You know, they, especially with our young, I said, in school, I don't get anything out of it. Why do I have to go? You know, set that up until a few weeks ago, you know. But you've got to bring stuff to the Mass, just like a history class or a math class. If you don't do anything outside of that moment, you're not going to get anything out of it. Mm. You have to do some work first. Very easy work. It's not hard, but there's some preparation that needs to happen. So, to get some more out of the Mass, there's stuff to do before Mass, during the Mass, and then after Mass. And we're going to hit really big the stuff before Mass and a little bit of the after Mass. Okay. For me, one of the first things that we do as priests is we find out what is the intention of the Mass. When we are praying Mass, we are always doing an intention. Mm-hmm. And so for our lay brothers and sisters to have an intention to be praying for somebody. You know, you may be the only person on the face of the earth that knows that another person needs prayer, a relative, a friend, a situation. And that's a unique gift from God to bring that before the throne so that sometime, God willing, in eternity, someone's going to come up to you and say, you were the one that prayed for me in that moment, mm-hmm. you know? And so a lot of people come to Mass and they don't have an intention. They just show up and check off the box of attendance, but there's more that you can be doing there.
Yeah, that's really the most powerful way you can intercede for someone, you know, is to offer the Mass for that person, you know. And I oftentimes tell people, you know, it's not just the priest who offers the Mass. The whole people of God offers the Mass with the priest, you know. So you can not only tell someone, I prayed for you today, but I offered Mass for you today.
there's a part that where the priest says, pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours will be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. So, yeah, in one of the Eucharist, the first Eucharistic prayer also mentions that as well. You know, we offer this Mass, or they offer it for themselves and those who are dear to them. You know, so there is a real ability to offer Mass for another.
I just struck me. So they folks can and should say, because for us it's kind of second nature. Well, I was offering this Mass for this intention.
Yeah.
Folks should offer a Mass for someone.
Right.
The Mass
right.
that they're there for.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that's a great, you know, that we know the power of the Mass doesn't depend on our, you know, holiness, right? Mm-hmm. So when you, when you make your intercession part of the Mass, it's participating in the power of Christ's sacrifice. You know, it doesn't depend on you. You know, you're just giving it to Jesus, you know, and saying, I'm putting this on the altar, you know.
Yeah, there was that passage in the gospel where some friends brought in a paralyzed man on a cot, mm-hmm. you know, on a litter, and just lowered him through the roof right in front of Jesus. You know, it didn't matter. It didn't have anything to do with the virtue of the friends other than that they remembered that their friend would need to come into the presence of Christ. So they just took that, you know, they just literally moved him
from one point to another. And that was a very important point to move him to, right at the feet of Christ. And so that's, in a way, what we do.
Yeah, that's wonderful. See, that's, yeah. So that's, I think, a huge thing is to see that attendance at Mass makes a difference because you're bringing your intention there. A lot of people think, well, if I show up or not, what difference does it make? Well, it makes a huge difference. You may, in fact, be the person designated. The name of that person may come up only to you. And so you to be there and bring that person before the Lord and keep him there, keep that her there all through Mass is a wonderful thing. It could really change someone's life. Mm-hmm. So that's the first, I always say, have an intention. The second really happens before Mass, and that's read the readings. I've always said if you can read the readings, and then you'll find as you go through Mass, you'll think, oh, that's why they chose that song. Because sometimes the Mass readings will play itself out in the songs and a theme from the readings. So that's a huge one. Read the readings. Now we do that regularly. How do you folks read the readings? Preparing your homilies. How do you do the readings?
One thing I do is to not reading the readings only for that Mass, but say if it's a daily Mass, the church gives us kind of sequential readings through the same book of the Bible, even through the same chapter of the same book of the Bible, to read it. To read that little passage of scripture in context with the others. If it's a reading for the Sunday Mass, the gospel is always connected to the first reading. And the psalm is always connected to the first reading as well. The second reading on the Sunday Mass often goes through one of the New Testament letters. Hmm. But the first reading is always connected to the gospel. So I'll look to see how is that connected, and then how does the psalm reflect on the first reading.
There's that theme between the first reading and the gospel on Sundays.
Right.
I've been praying recently about if every Catholic went to church this coming Sunday, what would be the numbers? 1.4 billion people would hear the same readings on this. This is significant. It's mm-hmm. significant for the human civilization that this reading is being read so much over the surface of the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, reading the readings that's a big one because scripture is so rich, and you kind of, this goes for priests preparing homilies, but also the lay faithful listening to the gospel. You can't take it in all at once, you know. If you just try, it's not like reading the newspaper. It's not just like information. It's not just facts, but it's something that you have to sit with and that works on you over time. So, you read the readings. I know my father had the practice of reading the Sunday readings because he was an early riser, and he would get up before everyone else and he would read the readings first thing in the morning while everyone else was asleep. And sometimes I would get up and find him reading the Bible. And, that just lets it percolate and it raises questions in your mind. What does that mean? What is that all about? So that when you get to Mass, you hear it read again, and then you hear the priest's, comments on it, and your ears are really open. Hmm.
Yeah, that's another good thing is to ask questions of the text, of the inspired Word of God. Mm-hmm. Why is this? Why is this? And maybe, you'll be good lucky and the homily will have the same question answered. But maybe the homily will bring up something completely different. I know as a priest and as a Dominican priest, I really like to listen to the homilies of my brothers.
Yeah.
Kind of. Sometimes just selfishly to get ideas for my own homily,
yeah,
Yeah. But just because there's always going to be a different angle of it, a different insight that you'll hear when someone else preaches about it.
Since we share all things in common, we also share the neat insights in our gospel. It's not quite stealing, okay? It is a reappropriation.
That's right.
In helping people in their personal prayer time, I've always said, read the gospel, read, if you can, Sunday first reading, and go after that theme. Mm-hmm. And Maybe come up with a homily. You know, preach something to yourself. What would you go after if you read that theme on a, for, in preparation for Sunday? And sometimes you'll be sitting there and you'll think, oh, I like what he did with those readings. I like where he took it. And you'll see it if you prepare. Or you'll say, no, I like what I did better. You know, I like my homily better than his. I would still stick with what I've got. And every once in a blue moon, now not, of course, with us, but every once in a blue moon, you'll say, one of us prepared the wrong readings. It's like, okay, that wasn't the readings I prepared, you know. It's usually a memorial.
You're listening to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Alcott, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I'm joined in the studio by Father Thomas Blau and Father Charles Schonk, and we've just been discussing getting more out of the Mass. Now, we've talked about having an intention for the Mass and making sure, if you can, to read the readings ahead of time to really reflect on them. And let's think about some other ways on the preparation side of the Mass. I know one thing is simply, you know, to try to fast before Mass, the 1 hour fast. Many Catholics know about that. Maybe not all of them know about it. Maybe not all of them remember it. But what's a reason for that, Father Thomas?
I think it's to set aside all earthly food to begin focusing on the food for our souls so that stands out, you know. For big meals, wasn't there always a time of fasting before big, huge celebrations and stuff so you can enjoy it more? Mm-hmm. I think that might be one reason why we have that fast.
Yeah, I think that's right on. It's about, you know, we're body and soul, you know, and if we ignore that fact, we run into problems, right? So we prepare our minds by means of our body, right? And even if it's, I mean, obviously the fast used to be 3 hours, and before that it was like a whole
12
hours, yeah.
Or from midnight the night before.
From midnight the night before, yeah. So, you know, those were the days when men were men and all that. But but even just the 1 hour fast is still significant. You know, it's still significant because you know, again, that those bodily reminders are very powerful. I'm entering into something significant and holy here.
Yeah, you're kind of clearing out space.
Yeah.
You know, you're clearing space for God. You know, we do that in our mind when we get to Mass early or read the readings ahead of time. We do that in our bodies by fasting even for a short time.
I've heard of people that, and I think my folks practice this, is not going to communion if you haven't observed the 1 hour fast. Now, I mentioned this once in one of my former assignments, and one of the persons came up and said, "You are such a rigorist. You are so rigorous. I can't believe you." But that was a common practice of just saying, you know, because, you know, it's not a sin, and to out of reverence to say, "I didn't prepare for you, Lord. You know, give me the grace I need. I'll make a spiritual communion." But folks, would refrain from going to communion without that level of preparation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As far as getting our mind clear, that's a great insight. Getting our mind free of things. How do you handle distractions in Mass? You know, what have you done in the past, even before ordination? How did you, if things come up in when you're there at Mass, what have you heard of ways to handle those things?
One of my favorite things I've heard of was from Bishop Fulton Sheen, how he would say when he was, wasn't necessarily at Mass, but he was praying. He would try to make a holy hour every day. When he was praying, all these concerns would come into his mind. For a long time, he was in charge of the Society for the Propagation of the Faith, which was in charge of helping to fund a lot of the Catholic Church's missions in poor countries throughout the world. So he would start worrying about that when he was praying. And then, but then he would imagine that there were like little people just coming and tugging on his his vestments or, you know, his clothes, like asking for his attention. And then he imagined himself just dragging them all right into the chapel, you know, before Christ. It's like, rather than shooing them away, he'll say, "Well, come on with me, you know, I'll bring you in." You know, and he would just make them part of his prayer rather than trying to keep pushing them away. So I thought that was a great, I like that image of like, just, you know, if it's something that can be brought into prayer, drag it right in with you, you know, rather than
trying to
get mad at yourself or, you know, and not being able to push it out.
Mm-hmm. So take the distractions, because that's what we always hear is, oh, I'm so distracted at Mass. And it's like, yeah, uh-huh. So how you dealing with it, you know? The we'll get into this probably in future talks on the Mass, but the if we wanted to keep people's rapt attention, we would have no repetition, you know? And the Mass has all this repetition, so it puts the work of staying on focus, on task, on us, because it's always, there's a lot of repetition, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we have to do that.
Yeah. One thing I think that's very helpful, if we can, is just to come to church a little early, if possible, even just 5 minutes early, just to take time to sit down, to try to quiet your mind, maybe to read one of the prayers of preparation for Mass. St. Thomas Aquinas has a great one.
That's right, yeah.
You know, there's some great composed prayers that really help get you, you know, prepare you for what's really happening. And I think of that. People prepare so much for other things in their life. Like, who would think of going to, you know, a football game if you're a football player without having practiced, you know?
Yeah.
Who would think of, what surgeon would think of going, showing up for surgery without, like, not knowing what...
studying what's going to go on.
What the surgery is, or yeah. what, you know, or what the particular needs of this patient are. You just wouldn't do that, you know? So... And it's not like we have, but even just we become a little bit early, just to kind of settle ourselves, focus ourselves, and maybe offer a prayer. I mean, that can make a huge difference. And one thing I think it's good to pray for is to realize that, as you were saying, Father Thomas, the Mass has a lot of words. There's a lot of parts that are the same each time. And we're not honestly going to be able to focus on every single instant of every Mass. But we can ask the Lord, Lord, give me just one thing that I can take with me. You know, just one word or one concept or one insight from the homily or one verse from one of the hymns, just something that will speak to my heart that I can be ready for, that you want to speak to me and that I can take home with me.
Do you know, I've heard of people keeping a Mass journal for that very reason. Hmm. They write down what was my favorite song, what the, I forget what group was that recommended a Mass journal. But they, what my favorite song said, what was one phrase that stood out, what did the priest say the challenge should be or to go with, you know, how did he apply it, and how am I going to apply it this week? And it could be something as simple as you can be, but it's a goal to help you stay on task because you're searching for things.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think arriving early, like you said, just 5 minutes makes a huge difference because... You know, it takes a little while to switch, to change gears, you know. That's like you're getting the family out the door, you're, you know, all maybe, you know, someone cuts you off in traffic on the way, you know, all these, you know, things that unsettle us and raise our stress level. You know, just a few minutes of silence, you know, can do wonders in terms of your receptivity and peace going into Mass.
Bishop Barron brings up how the rosary is a great, he says it can calm your mind down. And it could also calm little kids' minds down. Okay, if they're able to hold on and do that, and it kind of settles you down. It helps to clear out some of the concerns, you know, by praying the rosary, even a little bit before Mass is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing why we try to stay, if we can, stay quiet before Mass, you know, because it gives you that time and that space to, you know, to try to settle yourself. I remember when I was a kid, my parents had kind of a quiet game that we would play during Mass, and that was that whoever was the quietest after Mass got a chocolate eclair when we went to
get donuts.
Yeah. If you weren't the quietest, you got one of the little donut holes, you know. So they would, like, you know, teach us that, you know, you being quiet is good in church.
For dear old dad, it was the click of the fingers with the point and the look.
Oh, yeah.
If he had to do that, we weren't getting the eclair. I heard something, that in Mass, the priest has certain actions he has to do. They're called rubrics. They're actually written in red. And his postures and actions are, it's what he has to do to worship well. Sometimes parents or older brothers and sisters have rubrics also. And as my rubric says, grab the chalice and put water and wine in it. Some people's rubrics are grab that kid, take that little youngin for a walk, you know, settle that youngster down, you know, and that's the way you worship. Yeah. That's your rubrics for Mass is, yeah, that kid's kind of antsy. That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So how about some things that, in terms of the end part of Mass or what we do at the end of Mass or what we take with us, what are some things you'd recommend, Father Thomas?
I do think, you know, when we receive, I've been hitting that on this at Mass a lot, different Masses, is we receive the Lord Jesus and he is substantially present with us from communion. He's closer to us than he was to the apostles before Pentecost. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's closer to us. The Lord Jesus, the divine healer, is there to pray over us. Okay. He is the one we pray to when we pray with people. Well, he's right there in communion to pray over people for wounds of the heart, for wounds of the soul, for strength of the most difficult thing this upcoming week. The Lord Jesus is touching you in communion. Hmm. So a lot of people spend moments after communion looking at us, purifying the vessels.
Yeah.
And it cracks me up because they've seen that a million times. They know exactly, now he's going to touch this, and then he's going to do this, and now he's going to touch this, and then he's going to do this, and then he puts a cover over it, and then he tells the servant, get it out of here. The Lord Jesus is in you. Why are you watching me? I'm going to call you to order by saying, let us pray. That's my call to order for the final prayer. So be with Jesus. He's with you for about 15 minutes even after Mass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's, you know, arrive early, leave late, you know.
Yeah, that's right, yes.
And that's, I think those two things can make a world of difference to your experience of Mass. You know, the way I sometimes say it is just relax.
Yeah.
Just relax, you know. It's Sunday.
Yeah.
Don't be in a hurry to get out of the church and, you know, and if I could just mention also something about, you know, Vatican II, one of the big emphases of Vatican II about the Mass was active participation, right, in the Mass. So you're not just a spectator, but as we were saying before, that you offer the Mass with the priest, that you be attentive to the readings, attentive to the homily, you know, that you have an active role in this. But active doesn't mean that you're not receptive. You know, being receptive is itself one of the highest forms of action, you might say. And that, you know, to come to Mass with that attitude, that active receptiveness, if I could put it that way.
That's good.
Active receptiveness. And part of that is not being in a hurry.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little saying, I forget who it comes from, hurry isn't of the devil, hurry is the devil. You know, and there's a lot of truth in that. So just relax. And there's a little restaurant in my hometown that has a sign. The people who run the restaurant, they've run it for decades, and it's like an institution in my hometown. And they have a sign in the restaurant that says, don't be in a hurry, because we're not going anywhere. Which makes you kind of scratch your head. What does that mean? You know, but you know, the Lord's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, just relax.
Yeah. And when you're at Mass, you're actually in communion with heaven, and heaven is not in a hurry. You know,
yeah.
Heaven is beyond time. You know, you're with the angels, you're with the saints, you know, you're with, you know, and including the saints, you're with departed family members who are among the saints if they're there already.
To spend some time with them. Yeah, mm-hmm. You might not be able to communicate in the language of this world, but spend some time with them, gazing at the Lord, being with the Lord.
Yeah, when I was a little kid, I noticed very early on that there's a kind of a rubric that seemed always part of the Mass, even though it didn't seem to be official, and that was like people would jingle keys in their pockets, you know, toward the end of Mass. I don't know if that was conscious or subconscious, right. But like, oh yeah, the keys are jingling. That means people are ready to go home, you know? I don't know if that was meant for the priest or not, but in a way it's like, you know, in a way that's not what you want to do. Yeah. You don't want to be like watching your watch.
Watching your watch and going, come on, Father.
Yeah. There's a story about one of our pastors at St. Patrick's. A lady came up to him after Mass and said, Father, Mass was a whole hour. And Father replied very, very kindly, and how many hours has the good Lord given you this week?
Yeah. So maybe just speaking of time, we are running out of time for this segment. What's a good way to make a Thanksgiving after Mass?
You know, in the prayer of St. Thomas Aquinas is excellent. Mm. Okay. One, but also I think just being there before the Lord and letting him yield, you know, praise him, ask him, repent, thank, and yield before the Lord. Just let him have his way in your soul. Let him clean out, let him reform, let him do whatever he wants in a moment of quiet after Mass.
Yeah. And in doing so, you avoid the mad rush to the parking lot.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimensions. My name is Father Stephen Alcott, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I've been joined today by Father Thomas Blau and Father Charles Schonk. Let's now end in our prayer to St. Dominic. O light of the Church,
teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Veni Sancti.